First inning. Mom and Pete gave it a rest as they got their packs and Quilla's wicker plant collection basket out of the van's back end. Pete even helped Tricia get her pack settled evenly on her back, tightening one of the straps, and she had a moment's foolish hope that now things were going to be all right. "Kids got your ponchos?" Mom asked, looking up at the sky. There was still blue up there, but the clouds were thickening in the west. It very likely would rain, but probably not soon enough for Pete to have a satisfying whine about being soaked. "I've got mine, Mom," Tricia chirped in her oh-boy waterless cookware voice. Pete grunted something that might have been a yes. "Lunches?" Affirmative from Tricia, another low grunt from Pete. "Good, because I'm not sharing mine." She locked the caravan, then led them across the dirt lot toward a sign marked Trail West, with an arrow beneath. There were maybe a dozen other cars in the lot, all but theirs with out-of-state plates. "Bug spray?" Mom asked as they stepped onto the path leading to the trail. "Trish?" "Got it," she chirped, not entirely positive she did, but not wanting to stop with her back turned so that Mom could have a rummage. That would get Pete going again for sure. If they kept walking, though, he might see something which would interest him, or at least distract him. A raccoon. Maybe a deer. A dinosaur would be good, Tricia giggled. "What's funny?" Mom asked. "Just methinks," Tricia replied, and Quilla frowned. "Methinks" was a Larry McFarland-ism. Well, let her frown, Tricia thought. Let her frown all she wants. I'm with her, and I don't complain about it like old Grouchy there, but he's still my dad, and I still love him. Tricia touched the brim of her signed cap as if to prove it. "Okay, kids, let's go," Quilla said, "and keep your eyes open." "I hate this," Pete almost groaned. It was the first clearly articulated thing he'd said since they got out of the van, and Tricia thought, please God send something, a deer, a dinosaur, or a UFO, because if you don't, they're going right back at it. God sent nothing but a few mosquito scouts that would no doubt soon be reporting back to the main army that fresh meat was on the move, and by the time they passed a sign reading North Conway Station 5.5 miles, the two of them were at it full bore again, ignoring the woods, ignoring her, ignoring everything but each other. Yada, 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 yada. It was, Tricia thought, like some sick kind of making out. It was a shame, too, because they were missing stuff that was actually pretty neat. The sweet, resiny smell of the pines, for instance, and the way the clouds seemed so close. Less like clouds than like draggles of whitish, gray smoke. She guessed you'd have to be an adult to call something as boring as walking one of your hobbies, but this really wasn't bad. She didn't know if the entire Appalachian Trail was as well-maintained as this. Probably not. But if it was, she guessed she could understand why people with nothing better to do decided to walk all umpty thousand miles of it. Tricia thought it was like walking on a broad, winding avenue through the woods. It wasn't paved, of course, and it ran steadily uphill, but it was easy enough walking. There was even a little hut with a pump inside it and a sign which read, "Water tests okay for drinking. Please fill primer jug for next person." She had a bottle of water in her pack, a big one with a squeeze top. But suddenly, all Tricia wanted in the world was to prime the pump in the little hut and get a drink, cold and fresh from its rusty lip. She would drink and pretend it was Bilbo Boggins on his way to the Misty Mountains. "Mom," she asked from behind them, "could we stop long enough to..." "Making friends is a job, Peter," her mother was saying. She didn't look back at Tricia. "You can't just stand around and wait for kids to come to you."
"Mom? Pete? Could we please stop for just a..."
"You don't understand," he said heatedly. "You don't have a clue. I don't know how things were when you were in junior high, but they're a lot different now."
"Pete? Mom? Mommy? There's a pump!"
Actually, there was a pump. That was now the grammatically correct way to put it, because the pump was behind them and getting farther behind all the time. "I don't accept that," Mom said briskly, all business. And Tricia thought, no wonder she drives him crazy. Then resentfully, they don't even know I'm here. The invisible girl, that's me. I might as well have stayed home. A mosquito whined in her ear and she slapped at it irritably. They came to a fork in the trail. The main branch, not quite as wide as an avenue now, but still not bad, went off to the left, marked by a sign reading North Conway 5.2. The other branch, smaller and mostly overgrown, read Kezar Notch 10.
"Guys, I have to pee," said the invisible girl. And of course, neither of them took any notice. They just headed up the branch which led to North Conway, walking side by side like lovers and looking into each other's faces like lovers and arguing like the bitterest enemies.
"We should have stayed home," Tricia thought. "They could have done this at home and I could have read a book. The Hobbit, again, maybe. A story about guys who like to walk in the woods."
"Who cares? I'm peeing,"
she said sulkily, and walked a little way down the path marked Kezar Notch. Here, the pines which had stayed modestly back from the main trail crowded in, reaching with their blue-black branches, and there was underbrush as well, clogs and clogs of it. She looked for the shiny leaves that meant poison ivy, poison oak, or poison sumac, and didn't see any. Thank God for small favors. Her mother had shown her pictures of those and taught her to identify them 2 years ago, when life had been happier and simpler. In those days, Trish had gone tramping in the woods with her mother quite a bit. Pete's bitterest complaint about the trip to Planetorium was that their mother had wanted to go there. The obvious truth of this seemed to blind him to how selfish he had sounded, harping on it all day long. On one of their walks, Mom had also taught her how girls peed in the woods. She began by saying, "The most important thing, maybe the only important thing, is not to do it in a patch of poison ivy. Now look, watch me and do it just the way I do it." Tricia now looked both ways, saw no one, and decided she'd get off the trail anyway. The way to Kezar Notch looked hardly used, little more than an alley compared to the broad thoroughfare of the main trail, but she still didn't want to squat right in the middle of it. It seemed indecorous. She stepped off the path in the direction of the North Conway Fork, and she could still hear them arguing. Later on, after she was good and lost, and trying not to believe she might die in the woods, Tricia would remember the last phrase she got in the clear, her brother's hurt, indignant voice. "Don't know why we have to pay for what you guys did wrong." It would come to her again and again, like a mantra in a delirium. She walked half a dozen steps toward the sound of his voice, stepping carefully around a clump of brambles even though she was wearing jeans instead of shorts. She paused, looked back, and realized she could still see the Kezar Notch path, which meant that anyone coming along it would be able to see her, squatting and peeing with a half-loaded knapsack on her back and a Red Sox cap on her head. "Embarrassing," as Pepsi might say. Quilla Anderson had once remarked that Penelope Robichaud's picture should be next to the word vulgar in the dictionary. Tricia went down a mild slope, her sneakers slipping a little in a carpet of last year's dead leaves, and when she got to the bottom, she couldn't see the Kezar Notch path anymore. Good. From the other direction, straight ahead through the woods, she heard a man's voice and a girl's answering laughter. Hikers on the main trail, and not far away by the sound. As Tricia unsnapped her jeans, it occurred to her that if her mother and brother paused in their oh-so-interesting argument, looking behind them to see how Sis was doing and saw a strange man and woman instead, they might be worried about her. Good. Give them something else to think about for a few minutes. Something besides themselves.
The trick, her mother had told her on that better day in the woods 2 years ago, wasn't going outdoors. Girls could do that every bit as well as boys, but to do it without soaking your clothes. Tricia held on to the conveniently jutting branch of a nearby pine, bent her knees, then reached between her legs with her free hand, yanking her pants and her underwear forward and out of the firing line. For a moment, nothing happened. Wasn't that just typical? And Trish sighed. A mosquito whined bloodthirstily around her left ear, and she had no hand free with which to slap at it.
"Oh, waterless cookware," she said angrily. But it was funny, really. Quite deliciously stupid and funny, and she began to laugh. As soon as she started laughing, she started peeing. When she was done, she looked around dubiously for something to blot with and decided, once more it was her father's phrase, not to push her luck. She gave her tail a little shake, as if that would really do any good, and then yanked up her pants. When the mosquito buzzed the side of her face again, she slapped it briskly and looked with satisfaction at the small bloody smear in the cup of her palm. "Thought I was unloaded, partner, didn't ya?" she said. Tricia turned back toward the slope and then turned around again as the worst idea of her life came to her. This idea was to go forward instead of backtracking to the Kezar Notch Trail. The pass had forked in a Y. She would simply walk across the gap and rejoin the main trail. Piece of cake. There was no chance of getting lost because she could hear the voices of the other hikers so clearly. There was really no chance of getting lost at all.